This is CKMS News on 102.7 FM. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired January 27th, 2026. After several years in a row that aquifers in Waterloo Region have been drawn down more than they have recharged, the municipal government has announced serious water capacity issues and have put a stop on fully approving any new developments which require their approval. The water issues were first publicly disclosed in December 2025, and on January 13th, the Regional Council held a lengthy discussion with staff, residents, and land developers regarding the immediate action and effects regarding the water issue, and some short-term and medium-term actions the region will be taking to address the water woes. Some of those actions include commenting on all new development applications that they cannot be approved until the water capacity issue has been successfully managed, continuing repair work on the Mannheim pumping station to increase its capacity, searching for new wells, streamlining other system maintenance, figuring out how to link the Mannheim system to the Middleton system, and speaking to the heaviest water users in the region about conservation. Individuals are not being asked to do anything at this point about their water use. The Mannheim system serves over 80% of the region's population. At the council meeting on the 13th, developers stressed the importance for the local economy of building things and the effects for future growth, but they did not question the business model of paving over farmlands, wetlands, and forests and other water infiltration zones with sprawling low-density developments. Indeed, subdivision developers have taken the region to court several times over land use plans which protected vast swaths of the recharge land beyond the countryside line. For their part, regional councillors expressed surprise that the water capacity issues were not revealed earlier. However, it was clear that several councillors, including Foxton and Chance, were unable to grasp the technicalities of the situation, with meeting chair Colleen James asking staff to quote-unquote dumb down their answers as much as possible. In the end, councillors approved motions requesting more information about the water issues, exactly what kind of developments are being paused, and figuring out what kind of issues the region can take action on in this situation. Council will be back on January 28th to address the water capacity issue once again, including a motion to hire up to 9 new full-time staff to address this problem, at a cost of $1.2 million. While most of the senior water management in the region has been fired over this issue, councillors did not take any responsibility for their own role in this issue, including their chronic underfunding of critical infrastructure. This show features an interview with Kevin Thomason, Vice Chair of the Grand River Environmental Network. Kevin has been following water-related issues in Waterloo Region for years and has reviewed the staff report, which describes in detail what the problems are. Additionally, this show features a clip of Sam Nabby of Hold the Line WR delegating at Regional Council on January 13th.
My name is Kevin Thomason. I am Vice Chair of the Grand River Environmental Network.
You've been an environmental advocate in the region for quite some time. From your position, can you describe what you understand to be the issue regarding water quantity in Waterloo Region?
And the Grand River Environmental Network has advocated for water, water conservation, water protection, water efficiency for decades. It's something that was one of the founding reasons for the Grand River Environmental Network, and we speak up on water issues across the entire Grand River watershed, from Dundalk in the far north right down to the shores of Lake Erie. And of course, this includes the cities of Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Guelph, Paris, Brantford, and that sort of thing. And of course, the issue at hand right now is in the region of Waterloo, where the region has declared there is a water supply capacity issue, and that they, and this is within one particular part of the city, what they call the Mannheim service area. Although I have to note that particular part of the city encompasses about 80% of the population of the region. It's all of Kitchener, all of Waterloo, a good chunk of Cambridge, part of Wilmot Township, almost all the urban areas of Woolwich Township. And so it's a pretty broad and widespread area. So it's something that's got pretty far-reaching impacts.
Yes, looking at the map that the region put out here, it's most of the population of the region is affected by this.
Yeah, well, and this is some of the, I'll call it doublespeak from the region that's been a little troubling or a little concerning. You know, when this was first announced, there wasn't very much information from the region. And we saw things like Mannheim Service Area, which is terminology that had never appeared in any documentation ever before. And so, you know, you could find no previous reports talking about a Mannheim service area. We knew the Mannheim wells, and we knew, you know, the Mannheim water treatment plant or things like that. But, you know, there's been a lot of things here that have been rather new and interesting, whether it's the region trying to position things. You know, and as you say, it doesn't sound too bad when it sounds like it only impacts one service area. And to actually find a map and realize just how vast that service area is, why don't they just simply come out and claim, you know, it impacts every major city in the region? It would certainly help if the communications were less opaque and at times a little clearer.
What do you understand to be the change in methodology for calculating the water supply, which triggered this warning?
I'll take a step back, or we'll zoom up to the 50,000-foot level first, and that is, quite fairly, the region of Waterloo has one of the most complicated water systems in all of North America. And we've known this. We've said for years that we're not like other GTA municipalities that just put a big straw into a great lake and basically have an unlimited supply of water. We've always known in Waterloo region, just like Guelph, just like Brantford and many other places, we only have the water under our feet within our municipal boundaries. And that's all we've got. That's all we're getting. And yes, it does fall from the sky occasionally, but it also runs away and evaporates and other things like that too. So we really know that we have to live within the carrying capacity of the land, within the carrying capacity of our watersheds. And that means that growth needs to be different here than elsewhere in the province, where you can have abundant growth or you can approve all kinds of subdivisions without really having to do many technical studies to figure, you know, where is the water coming from or where the sewage is going. That's not the case in our areas, where sustainability is much more paramount and you have to live within that carrying capacity of the land. And so the region of Waterloo has always had to do very complex calculations of, you know, what's our wastewater capacity? What's our water capacity? And so not only do you get a regional official plan that includes a growth target, but then you get water master plans and wastewater master plans and transportation master plans and all kinds of other plans to figure out, well, can we actually service that? And where is the water coming from? Where does it have to go to? And if this well isn't enough, can we tap from a neighboring well? And if the next neighboring 15 wells aren't enough, can we get more from the next 15 or whatever? And so you end up with these very complicated patchwork services where, for example, if you're in Woolwich, a builder in Woolwich Township building a new house in Breslau, your water comes all the way from Kitchener through the city of Waterloo. You know, it makes things a lot more complex here. And this is where we get into trouble if we have things like what we saw the Ford government do a couple of years back, where we saw massive forced boundary expansions, meaning, you know, our communities decided they were going to live within their means and grow up instead of out. And Ford, because there wasn't enough urban sprawl to please land speculators or development buddies, comes along and ordered 6,500 acres of urban sprawl across vast tracts of farmland. Without a single page of study, without a single report, without a single page of justification. That has pretty far-reaching consequences when you look at things from the constraints that we have to live within in our communities here. And we see that elsewhere. We see just before Christmas, articles running the Brantford area and surprise about the sheer density and scale of some of these subdivisions being proposed with absolutely no questions as to where the required resources were going to be coming from.
What kind of percentages do we get from groundwater versus the river, or, you know, we don't have a pipeline to the lake? Where do we get our water in Waterloo region?
Depends where you are. In Waterloo region, about 80% of our water comes from groundwater wells, and 20% comes through a really unique system that draws the river water out of the Grand River, holds it in giant holding retention ponds for 3 days, just to make sure that there's been no upstream issues, a chemical spill, a gasoline leak or contamination or whatever. And when they're confident the water is pure, they then pump that water from the east side of Kitchener all the way over to the west side, pump it way up onto the top of the Waterloo Moraine, where they then inject it down into the ground and let the natural Waterloo Moraine, that beautiful sand and gravel of the Waterloo Moraine, filter all the water. And then they pull it out in wells a couple kilometers away. So it's a really unique thing where, yeah, we're taking river water, but then we're using the ground to filter it and bring it up through traditional ground wells. So it's a unique setup, but it's been a way that we've been able to increase the capacity of our ground wells by, in essence, injecting river water that we hope is clean enough into them. That contrasts other places like Guelph, where almost all the water is well water, or places like Brantford, where almost all the water is river water right out of the Grand River and filtered. So it all depends on the community, where and how your water is coming from.
The thing that triggered this warning was a change in methodology.
Well, it wasn't a change in methodology. It was a panic when suddenly they looked down in the well and it was empty. And there should have been water there and there wasn't. And this was a pretty blindsided surprise to regional council, who promptly then fired all the senior water people. So we no longer have the commissioner of water services and our senior managers. They were all relieved of their posts by blindsiding council, having known for quite some time that our water levels were not what they were. And in fact, some of those reports you were referring to is a third-party report from a consulting firm that confirms in 2023, in 2024, and in 2025, the region pumped more water out of the ground than the aquifers could replenish, and that we were overtaking water. And now we have the challenge of our groundwater aquifers are depleted. We somehow need to back off and allow them to recharge at a time that we have record demand and need more water than ever. So where is that water going to come from to either recharge or to continue on with our water supply if we're already living beyond our capacity or exceeding what we have and somehow need to replenish it? So this is a real conundrum, and one of the reasons why, twofold. One, the region is pausing all development approvals and not issuing any more development approvals, which is just absolutely staggering. When we're in an era where Doug Ford is absolutely desperate to build 1.5 million homes anywhere at any cost, and suddenly you have municipalities who are used to being rewarded with big bonuses for meeting housing targets or things like that, suddenly announcing that they're not going to approve anything, not only does that get Queen's Park attention, but that sends some pretty strong reverberations through your development community, through the business community, even through investment. You know, you might as well just hang up a closed for business sign if you're not going to be approving any new developments. And the regions also said they have no idea what the timelines are here. They'd like to get things going as soon as possible, but some of the studies they're doing aren't even going to have results until 2027. So, and there is no, you know, big golden pond of water somewhere that we can just tap into. You know, most of the low-hanging fruit around the region in terms of water sources has already been tapped into. So, you know, it's going to have to be a very fine balance of trying to cut back here and get a little bit more there and bring perhaps this well over here online. And but it is something that doesn't have a quick, easy answer and is going to take a lot of time, a lot of complex engineering, and a lot of funds, and funds that might not have been budgeted for, to resolve.
For years, environmentalists have been raising alarm bells about water in the region. Specifically, cities allowing the building of sprawling suburbs across wetlands, forests, and the Waterloo Moraine. Is what is happening what you said would happen?
I hate to say, you know, this is what our groups have warned about for years. So short of the contamination situation like what Elmira faced, where suddenly your well water is so bad you've got to shut it down immediately, you can't drink it anymore. You know, that's a worst case scenario than this. This is the well is running low. There's the well is so toxic you'll die if you drink it. That, you know, that's a worst case scenario and shows how badly we've treated some of our water aquifers in the past. But this is still all those scenarios. You know, the reasons we've been calling for green belt expansion for years so that we have the same water protections as the rest of the GTA and the rest of the province. The reason we've been expressing such dismay at these forest boundary expansions without any documentation or studies or planning or proper planning done at all. With the Wilmot Land Assembly, this mega industrial 770-acre mega industrial creating one of the largest industrial sites in the entire country for some sort of gigafactory, where then again, there was never a single public meeting for that yet, let alone any of the answers to our freedom of information request for where is the water coming from, where is the wastewater going. You know, it's not in the best public interest. Ford might decry he's, you know, cutting red tape or whatever, but not doing the studies isn't cutting red tape. it's just total dissolution of any sort of responsibility. This is what we've been raising so many concerns about, because if we don't take care of our aquifers, if we don't provide the protection to the groundwater recharge areas, or if we pave them over, we saw the mayor of Kitchener take an hour and a half of a council meeting in April 2024 fighting to send a report to Queen's Park from the region hydrology people, warning that we can't continue to pave over our groundwater recharge areas and still expect to get fresh, clean water out of them. And yet the mayor, along with vice presidents of several large home builders and developers, stood there delegation after delegation doing everything they could to stop this report that was clearly in the best public interest, expressing common sense concerns about the need to take better care of our groundwater recharge areas. And yet for decades, the region of Waterloo has tried to do everything to protect those groundwater areas in southwest Kitchener, while developers in the city of Kitchener have done everything possible to try to pave over and develop it, with appeal after appeal after appeal to the Ontario Land Tribunal, the Ontario Municipal Board, and you name it. And so, these are the things that our groups have warned about and fought for decades. And I'll just say, needless to say, the last few years between the Ford government, the Trump government, others haven't really been great years for environmentalists. And yet the pigeons are coming home to roost. And we're seeing so many of these things we've warned about starting to occur. And we're not even in a drought yet. We're not even in a lot of these climate change impacts that we know are coming, where we know we're going to need to have more resilience and better planning in our community and better safeguards than what we've got.
From your point of view, what does this mean for the region's plans of constant expansion and the population growth target set by the provincial government?
There's a lot to be concerned about here, and this is where we need people speaking up and speaking up for the future we want to see, which could be, what sort of growth do we want our communities? I look at Wilmot right now. There's a community facing two different options. The township and the citizens have made it clear they want to remain a small, agriculturally focused rural community, while we've got the region and the province forcing massive amounts of development, thousands of homes and massive mega industrial sites or whatever on them, when the citizens have made it clear for months now that they're unwilling. And so, there's a lot of key decisions coming. The region of Waterloo keeps talking about growing to 1 million people. Well, we're only sitting at 680,000. If we don't even have the water right now for 600 plus, how in the world are we going to get 40% more in the decades ahead that we know are likely going to be drier and more climate challenged than now? And, people might say, we'll just put in a pipeline to the Great Lakes like London. London has a pipeline to Lake Huron and a pipeline to Lake Erie. York region built a big pipe down to Lake Ontario. Durham region built a big pipe. I think what the people of York and Durham are realizing is they really regret those big pipes. Not only did it cost billions of dollars that their taxpayers are now on the hook for, but it really didn't do a whole lot to benefit the existing taxpayers. All it did was open things up for massive amounts of sprawl and growth that's paving over all their farm fields. It's clogging their streets and things like that. And they're seeing their taxes skyrocket to pay for it all. And the average citizen saying, well, what benefit has this been to me? I already had water. We already had a sustainable plan in our community. And now these land speculators have forced all this growth on us that isn't really improving my quality of life. So what was it all about as they waltz off with millions in profit or such? And I don't want to sound anti-growth or anti-development. The region of Waterloo had a spectacular regional official plan that was visionary and sustainable and built upon everything previous official plans had. And then the province came in and totally destroyed it, forced open thousands of acres, and now has even taken planning authority away from the region, which is just utterly appalling. One of the fastest growing, best model areas for all of North America that was showing how we could grow and live sustainably and still reach our Paris Accord targets and climate change targets and things like that, put in things like higher order transit like LRT and still be one of the most desirable, sought after places for businesses or students or companies or people to live, has been upended by the province. And it's unfortunate because we're seeing in so many of our communities, these aren't necessarily leading to the futures that we want. And now we're seeing issues like these water issues and other things that just show perhaps we need to get back to some of that common sense planning or the more modest or even just the proper planning processes that we've had in the past that proved to be successful and got us to where we were, rather than some of these issues we see unfolding now.
So I know Gren has been warning about this, other environmental groups, water watchers, has been warning about these issues for years. Now that they're showing, you know, that the result of not listening perhaps to the environmentalists, with that happening, what can be done?
There are so many different groups out there calling for so many different things. We have groups like Hold the Line, which have been promoting our countryside line concept and the idea of limiting urban sprawl and greenbelt expansion and trying to ensure that we get a balanced growth and development. We get groups like Fight for Farmland that are just trying to protect our farmland. We're losing 319 acres a day of farmland in Ontario each and every day. That number is up over 100 acres a day just in the time that Doug Ford has been in power. This is going the wrong way. We need to be conserving and protecting land, not doubling the rate in which we're paving it over and losing it. And yet Fight for Farmland has been advocating for this. How many different groups out there are fighting against gravel pits? And yet we know gravel trumps everything. There's no way a community can fight it. Whatever the aggregate pit proponent wants, they get. And if not, they waltz off to the OLT and get it handed to them. And these pits often are pumping well below the water table, removing sometimes hundreds of thousands or even millions of liters every week to pump below the water table. These things all have consequences. And cumulatively, with death by a thousand cuts, it's a gravel pit here, it's a subdivision there. And before you know it, you wonder why your aquifer is a little lower. You wonder why it's not producing the water it did, you know, back in the past or whatever. This isn't rocket scientists to figure it out. This is just common sense planning that we need to get back to. And we need to have some balance. And we need to ensure that, like all these groups have been saying, you know, we don't need 13 times the number of aggregate pits than we need for aggregate each year. We don't need so many thousands of acres of sprawl land to open up. Well, we know people want to live in compact, complete, walkable communities close to transit, close to the core, and close to the amenities they want, and not live in far-flung, hour, far-away subdivisions. You know, there's just so many things that group after group has been advocating for, and yet, frankly, it's too often the billionaires with all the deep pockets that rule the roost. And surprise, surprise, that isn't the solutions that are in the best public interest or the future that we need.
That was an interview with Kevin Thomason, vice chair of the Grand River Environmental Network. Now we have a short clip of Sam Nabby of Hold the Line Waterloo Region, delegating at regional council on January 13th. Sam was one of several delegates who questioned how we got here.
My name's Sam Nabby, director of Hold the Line Waterloo Region. When the news broke a month ago about this capacity issue, it was a shock. It was shocking in the context of a regional growth management strategy that's been a core part of how we plan for growth over the last 20 years. In the context of the regional official plan and the amendments, most recently a couple of years ago, where we had lots of in-depth conversations about the infrastructure capacity, the market conditions, the environmental constraints, and how we grow as a region. So to learn recently that we don't have an integrated urban system, that we have two separate systems, these are issues that for me as an advocate for the last 10 plus years and talking with planners in that whole process, that had never come up. I imagine that engineers making comments about water capacity issues for all the infill developments that have been happening in this region for the last couple decades, I find it hard to believe that this last month and that the news that broke was the first time that we had encountered one of these issues. Again, I'm coming with a lot of questions. In the public discussion around the regional official plan, even if we look at the water supply management plan from 2015, they talk about an integrated urban system. It talks about new treatment plants. It talks about future investments and what we need to keep our system resilient. The master plan from 2015 says that there are ways we can increase our supply to the system and points out pumping stations and different types of infrastructure that we need to look at due to their location and the interconnectedness of this integrated urban distribution system. That interconnectedness is really in question right now. And what's most surprising is that any of this is a surprise. It's concerning that we've been using provincial modeling that doesn't account for our local groundwater context. Further reason to retain our local control and our local expertise as much as we can. As the province seeks to combine conservation areas, I really don't think that the solution to this issue is to take away local control and to impose provincial oversight. We have to work with the province. We have to work with area municipalities. We have to work with industry. And there are several urgent fixes that need to happen. We need to get back to full capacity with our ability to pump water from the Grand to our Mannheim treatment plant, adding new wells, which is an ongoing process to replace the wells that have been exhausted or less effective. That's an ongoing process, and we need to make sure we're keeping up with that. And recommitting to long-term health of our water system. When we think about long-term, we think about managing the permeable area. The way that we have been redirecting growth to infill rather than greenfield has been a big reason why potentially we're here today and we weren't here years ago. Infill development is less resource intensive. It helps us grow in a more efficient way. And nothing about this process and the big challenge that it is should give us pause or have us let up on our vision for regional growth management strategy that prioritizes compact development, transit supportive development.
That was a clip of Sam Nabby of Hold the Line Waterloo Region speaking at Regional Council on January 13th. And before that was an interview with Vice Chair of the Grand River Environmental Network, Kevin Thomason. The Conservative provincial government did not respond to requests for comment from CKMS News regarding their plans for and role in this water crisis. CKMS News will continue to cover this issue as it progresses. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.